Welcome to Farm to Table Talk, where we talk about our food and how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson.
Well, when you're in farm to table conversations, food hubs come up, and I know some of you are saying, really, what is a food hub? Well, we're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about getting a food hub started. And the other thing I think we're going to talk about is the fact that food hubs are coming together all over the United States. We've made that point before, and my guest today is going to be able to drive that point home, because frankly, when these started coming around, people thought food hubs were something like San Francisco and Brooklyn and were some sort of hipster heaven where things were very, very trendy. But they don't tend to think in the middle of the, really the Corn Belt, if you will, in the middle of the country, to see food hubs. Well, I was really interested to see that one is getting started in Muncie, Indiana. And so I thought, boy, this would be great. Let's talk to the person that's putting it all together. And I'm happy to have Elaine Vidal. And Elaine is the food hub coordinator for Muncie. And you've got, Elaine, welcome to Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Elaine, let's start off with really what is a food hub? How do you explain it to when you tell your friends and family that aren't involved and you say, here's what I'm doing now, I'm a food hub coordinator? There must be a few of them that go ahead and say, Elaine, what in the world is a food hub? Because it's not been around 100 years.
It's funny that you say food hubs haven't been around for 100 years, because I think one of the best explanations that I've heard is that a food hub is an old idea with a new name. And food hubs are really just, I think so. Food hubs to me are really just businesses that help to strengthen and extend markets for small regional farmers by getting their food out there to more buyers. And that could take really a variety of mechanisms. It could be like a distributor. It could be a restaurant. It could be a mobile unit. It could be, a grocery delivery. But really, it's an old idea with a new name, just getting food out there to people who are hungry.
Well, that brings up another issue, because when I think of your country, and I've lived in Indiana before and Illinois and Iowa, and I grew up back in the Corn Belt too, but I tend to think of the farms as being more commodity farms with primarily corn and soybeans and hogs. There used to be a lot of hogs produced. I think there still are a lot of hogs produced, and maybe a rare cow herd here or there. And some sheep, but not too many. But that's my primary vision of agriculture in the Midwest. Obviously, you wouldn't be putting a food hub together, I suppose, to have people bring truckloads of corn or soybeans. Do you really find? Are you surrounded with other kinds of food production that's outside of the stereotype?
Well, it's true that commodity agriculture is very large, but actually the fastest growing sector of agriculture in our region is small farmers who produce specialty crops. And I guess it's kind of strange to call it specialty crops, but really just fruits and vegetables that you and I can eat. And so, yes, even though there is a lot of commodity ag and the industry is really dominated by that, we also have many fruit and vegetable growers.
When you say small, qualify that a little bit, because when I think of, again, when I think of the commodity farmers, oftentimes now they may be 1,500 to 3,000 acres of land. What might be a typical range of the small farmers that are producing fruits and vegetables in the Midwest?
Oh, gosh. Well, the farmers that we are working with our developing food hub, range wildly in size. Some of them are growing on sites that are not much more than an acre. And, you know, others of them, of course, have, you know, maybe tens of acres, or even if they are, say, growing livestock or ranching, they might have more than 100. But I guess by the commodity definition, all of those farmers qualify as small.
So would they typically have another job, perhaps, or are many of them able to support themselves with the small farming operations?
Most of the farmers that we're working with are in transition. So yes, they almost always have another job. They're kind of often moonlighting farmers. Oftentimes, you know, one of them in a two-adult household will have another full-time job, and the other one might be able to devote a significant portion of their energy to the farm. But yes, it's
wow.
Very much growers who are really living a double life.
And that, I assume that many of them aspire to someday get to the point that the farm supports them, that they're, maybe it's not fair to ask you to answer the question of what everybody's dream is, but do you find many of them are hoping they can get up to a scale that can support them and they don't have to be having other incomes?
Yes, yes. I mean, of course, I hesitate to speak for other people's dreams, but many of the farmers we work with have said that they wish that they could devote all of their time to farming, and we hope that the Food Hub can help with that. Most of our farmers are kind of moving from, say, like a roadside stand or farmer's market direct-to-consumer sales and transitioning into the wholesale market or intermediated sales. So the Food Hub is trying to help them grow their business to the point that they can do just that and devote the whole of their time to their passion.
You know, you're in Muncie, Indiana, and that's where Ball State University is. Is the fact that there's a university community there, does that have any impact on the development of the hub, either more people that are wanting to get into it or other kinds of support because there's a university there in Muncie?
Absolutely. I'm actually employed by Ball State, and the Food Hub was a grant-funded proposal from Joshua Groover in the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Management. So Ball State is hoping to incubate this Food Hub as a community initiative and then develop it to the point where it becomes its own self-sustaining business.
Well, now let's talk about you a little bit, Elaine. What's your background and how come you've gotten into this?
Well, I ask myself often, and I feel so lucky to be in this role. It's so rewarding. And I guess I would say my main qualification for this role is that I love food, and I am a passionate eater. I went to Ball State as a graduate student, and I got my master's in the Natural Resources and Environmental Management department. And then I went on to work in horticulture at Minnetrista, and everywhere in all of my employment, I was always trying to find a way to work in food into our museum gardens and to, you know, plant a few edibles here and tuck in a few tomato plants in with the flowers. And I garden at home, and that's my hobby too, and I love to cook. And so when this grant proposal was funded, I was so excited to be a part of it. And I'm so sorry. You can hear my dogs in the background.
Oh, no, that's great. I usually have a dog in the studio too. Go ahead.
Oh, good. I am I'm the proud guardian of three dogs, and I love them dearly, but sometimes they can be a little bit rowdy.
That's all right. Have them step up to the microphone. We haven't heard from many dogs so far this week. Have you had any involvement with farming? Did you grow up on a farm, or know somebody that did? Or, you know, was there a farm connection for you before you got in this role?
Gosh, well, I did not grow up in farming. I am originally from Arlington, Virginia, and I moved to Ball State 7 years ago when my husband actually started working for Ball State. So we were kind of Muncie transplants. And then, of course, through my love of food, I just developed relationships with a lot of farmers because I love what they grow, and I love their stories, and I love their you know, advice and their knowledge. They're so full of knowledge. And so I would just go to the farmers markets and ask them to tell me about what they had. And then when this position opened up, I was lucky enough to get it. And now I get to do that for my job.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, when you come from Alexandria, Virginia, there were food hubs back there, and there's programs like DC Greens, which I've featured here on Farm to Table Talk before. There's a lot of things going on in the Washington, D.C. area. Did you bring some ideas back with you? Did you have a chance to observe some of those dynamics where you came from and are going to be able to tap some of that?
Definitely. There's so much passion in the D.C. area for local food and for, you know, heirloom vegetables. And there's a lot of appreciation for farmers. And so I was able to bring a lot of that with me. And it's not that people here don't appreciate farmers. It's just that, I guess, in a lot of ways, the farmers market really never went away. And of course, we are an agricultural state. I'm really interested in kind of shifting and developing that appreciation for specialty food products and produce and fruits and vegetables.
Oh, you know, growing up in the Midwest myself, we didn't grow other than what might be in some of our gardens. I think most of what we were getting at the stores was being shipped in from California, where I live now. And so this is, again, it's kind of different. And that makes me wonder, too, about what you can grow in Indiana. And I don't mean to be critical at all, but you do have winter.
That's true. You know that.
Yeah. No, I do. It's one of those times where every once in a while when it got down to 20 below zero, I thought, gee, maybe someday I'll live in California. But just on those cold days. I would rather be there in the fall. It's beautiful. But you do have the seasonality. And so what are the kinds of foods that you're able to produce there locally?
Oh, so many things. I mean, of course we have winter, but tomatoes, peppers, squash, zucchini, strawberries, onions, kale, lettuce, arugula, apples, peaches, plums, all kinds of things. I mean, I don't know, if you visit a farmer's market here in Muncie, it's just like teeming and overflowing with vegetables. And of course, maybe not so much in January, but right now it's just a really vibrant cornucopia.
Now, do you shut down for the winter?
No. The farmer's markets actually do continue in the winter, and they're less focused on, say, fresh produce, but they're very rich with other products. Like, there's meat, there are local bakers, there's honey, there are, you know, people selling kind of indoor plants for your home. So there are still a lot of really great local food products that are available all year.
Farmers that are now producing locally, are they also selling into the school systems? Are there any ways that they're able to get into, you know, farm to school? Or are there local stores and restaurants that are taking product from them directly?
The Food Hub hopes to be able to help get these small local producers into the schools. That's one of our big goals. And our school lunch program does a great job of offering healthy food. We'd love to help them be able to offer healthy and local food. And then there are a handful of restaurants and small grocers that do offer local food and that open up their markets to these farmers. But again, there could be more, so there's room for the Food Hub to help with that.
So now, what is your priority? So you're getting this Food Hub started. What do you do first? What's the getting it off the ground stage? How would you describe what you're involved with right now?
Well, I guess I would describe the past year as a lot of meetings. In some ways, that sounds like a disappointment, but it's actually been a great process. We've developed relationships with community organizations all over Muncie and surrounding. And by having these conversations, we are really using the community voice to shape what we come up with. So we've developed partnerships, and we have organized the upcoming Food Summit, which you found out about, on October 26th to really help bring all of our stakeholders together, farmers, consumers, educators, government, and anyone interested in strengthening the local food system. We're going to all come to the table, and they are going to help us shape and develop our food hub.
So, I mean, when you get everybody at the table, I'm sure you're going to have different people to present some ideas and suggestions, but are they going to try to arrive at a consensus on priorities?
Yes, I think so. I mean, we have been researching and speaking with people for a while, and so I think that there are a few key concerns that we want to address. And one of them is food security, because not only do we want to help farmers expand their markets, but also one of the biggest challenges of starting a food hub in Muncie is that we have a really substantial percentage of low-income residents who struggle with hunger. And so a key, I guess, component of the food hub is not only that it should expand markets, but also address food security and help bring, fresh, healthy, affordable food to the food deserts in our area. So that's a key priority.
The farmers market there, are they able to allow people that are on what used to be food stamps, but the various programs to be able to use the cards to purchase at the farmers markets?
Yes. So Purdue Extension has worked really extensively in helping vendors to become, WIC and SNAP eligible so that people can use their food benefits there. And that's great. So we've seen like a big rise in people using those benefits to access the farmers market. But one of the, barriers to that is that you really need a car. It's really hard to kind of get yourself to the market with all your groceries and bags and things and then take it home if you don't have access to a reliable vehicle, which a lot of our residents are faced with. So the food hub is looking at ways to maybe help eliminate that barrier. And one of the things that we've come up with is a possible mobile unit that would actually take food into food desert neighborhoods so that people don't have to schlep themselves up to the market on Saturday morning, because to be honest, it's not a reality for a lot of our possible consumers.
You know, I think people are not surprised to hear about these kind of initiatives again in Detroit or New York or maybe even Los Angeles, but when they talk about food deserts. But for much of the rest of the country, they don't see that image. They don't recognize that there are people that aren't mobile, and, poverty certainly exists all over the country. And a program like yours is trying to make sure that they have equal opportunities to lots of healthy food. But maybe give a picture a little bit more of Muncie. What's the size, the population of the area that your food hub will be taking care of?
Well, we hope that our food hub sort of expands, but I think Muncie's population in the township of about 70,000, and I think Delaware County is, 150,000, although I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, sure.
But, of course, like, we are part of the Rust Belt, so, we had a booming economic time in the 70s and 80s, and there were, a lot of really great factory jobs. And, of course, all of that has left us. And Muncie is a place that is really struggling to re-identify itself and to figure out what its identity is now. And, of course, being from the Midwest, that it's an agricultural state. And so maybe agriculture and local food can be part of that redefining of itself.
Well, that's exciting. And as you're making this transition and you're addressing the needs of the community and the farmers, where do you find the most help in getting this program, your program, off the ground?
Well, ideas are coming from all over the community. So, of course, the farmers. It's important to know what they go through and what their challenges are and what their needs are, because if the food hub doesn't help farmers, then it really doesn't have a leg to stand on, right? So talking to farmers and getting their ideas is super important. We also have a partnership with an organization called Edible Muncie, and they work with existing programs that are dealing with food insecurity. So all the local food pantries are sort of partnering with Edible Muncie, and Edible Muncie tries to align their efforts and get all of their information out to the community so that we can sort of streamline all the efforts that are happening across town and amplify them by working together. And then Purdue Extension is also helping us. So they've been really instrumental in kind of helping plan our events and, again, getting out in the community again. But really, yeah, farmers and Purdue Extension and Edible Muncie has been a great partner.
Let's just go ahead just a year. I mean, how do you hope things are looking differently, and how are you functioning a year from now with a new food hub?
A year from now, I envision us operating through a mobile unit. So it would be a small start, but our farmers are small too. So I envision us having a mobile unit that we take into a food desert that helps expand the market for our farmers, because most of them still are going to want to do a lot of direct-to-consumer sales. But then we can offer, you know, fresh, affordable, healthy food in these food desert communities. And hopefully I would love to initiate something like the Double Up Food Bucks program in Michigan and in Indianapolis, where people can sort of get twice the amount of their benefits by shopping for local foods. So I would love to see that next year, and that's our goal. And, you know, I guess we'll start with just one, but I'd love to have a little food fleet that can kind of go out into all parts of the community, outside of churches, outside of schools, outside of employers, to really give people a convenient and affordable option for fresh food.
Well, Elaine, I keep coming back to the fact that this just seems to be something that's happening around the country. Are you finding unusual sources of ideas? I mean, you find from what newsletters and stories and people that say you should talk to so-and-so that, as I have, that they are just kind of evolving all over the country?
Yes, yes. I mean, we're just lucky enough to attend the Food Hub. Gosh, it was like the National Food Hub Conference. And it was so interesting because if you go there, they say, like, if you've seen one food hub, you've seen one food hub, because they're all so different. And of course, like, there are initiatives in Detroit that are taking off. Will Allen, obviously, is incredibly inspiring. There is a nonprofit restaurant foundation in Indianapolis called the Patashew Foundation. It's like, whoever heard of a nonprofit restaurant? But it's really exciting, just the different ideas that people come up with to solve these problems.
You know, I really appreciate your taking some time to share your enthusiasm with us. And then in just wrapping up, I want to, first of all, just to kind of ask you, when you look at your future involved with a program like this, what makes you feel the best? I mean, what makes you optimistic that, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road, you will have chosen kind of the right course to jump into this area? what gets you charged up about what you're doing?
Well, I guess my love for Muncie. When I first moved here with my husband, I guess the first year that I spent in Muncie, I just kept asking him, hey, when can we move to Portland? And why can't we just do that? But after a year of being here, people are so kind-hearted and so generous. But like my neighbors just came over and introduced themselves, and the farmers at the farmers market, they always insist on giving you an extra pepper or an extra bunch of kale. People are just kind. And the more I stayed here, the more I thought that, you know, Portland doesn't need me, but maybe I can contribute something to Muncie. This is a city that has so much potential and so much love and a lot of room to grow, and maybe I can help it grow. And so by being part of the food hub and developing this local food system, I guess like I was transplanted here and I've set my roots and I want to grow and I want to help Muncie grow too. And I think so many people feel that way. And I think it's going to take off. So that's what really energizes me.
That's wonderful. Well, I hope the people from Muncie make sure that they protect themselves from losing you to Portland, because Portland's sorry they couldn't get you there, too, for your enthusiasm. And I think there are other people that are going to be inspired by what you've done, what you're doing, what the community is doing, what the local farmers are doing. Well, listen, it's just been a delight talking to you, and I'm really excited about what you're doing there, and other people will be as well. So, Elaine the Dog, the Food Hub Coordinator in Muncie, Indiana, thanks for sharing your story today on Farm to Table Talk.
Thank you for speaking with me. It was an honor.
Thanks for listening to Farm to Table Talk. Join us again on Facebook or farmtotabletalk.com, where you can follow us on SoundCloud, or go to iTunes, where you can subscribe to receive regular podcasts. And while you're there, please give us a review and a rating on iTunes. Thanks again for listening to Farm to Table Talk.